This podcast is brought to you by DKP & Co. Chartered Accountants. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Football Nation Radio. Tonight's episode of the Geelong Region Soccer Show is proudly brought to you by Community Sports Media Services. If it's sports media your club or association needs help with, then you need to talk to the experts. Email us at communitysportsmedia@gmail.com or ring 0402 012 716. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to wherever you may be on this lovely planet of ours. You are listening and watching to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Football Nation Radio. My name is Tonchi Prusak, and this right next to me is Andrew Shears. We are your hosts for the next 60 minutes. Andrew, a very good evening to you. How are you?
Hey, Tonchi. Yeah, really good, thanks. Good evening, everybody. Hope you've all had a really good week. I didn't get the memo about the bright coloured T-shirt.
Straight from the construction site, I think. No, it wasn't, you know. Last week after we left, the weather was so atrocious that I thought, geez, we're going to get lost. I thought tonight I must remain visible. But speaking of tonight, Andrew, what a massive show we have got lined
We've
up for you tonight.
We've got three top guests for you tonight.
The calibre of those guests is unbelievable. Three former Socceroos and all from the Geelong region. Three living legends and all three jumped to appear on our show tonight. And I guess that talks about the reputation that we're fast developing here at FNR Football Nation Radio.
Yes, we're only on week number four and already they're jumping out of their skins.
They are.
Part of us.
Now, the third member of our little group is our panel operator, Josh Parrish. Josh, how are you?
I'm great, gents. Great to see you guys again.
Now, Josh is a little bit out of camera shot once again. He's very, very reluctant. But, Josh, you're just as excited as the rest of us as at how popular the Geelong Region Soccer Show has become in such a short time. And is there a rumour, is the rumour true that Josh is now actually looking for real estate down in Geelong? He's actually loving it so much that he's thinking of making the move down there, and he's looking at Corangamite because it's a marginal seat and there's a lot of millions of dollars being splashed out.
I can see Josh down on the beaches of Bowen Heads there. He'd be fine.
He's blushing. Oh, goodness me.
My best mate actually lives down in Geelong, so I've been going down a little bit to hang out with him. And he works down at Deakin there. It's a lovely part of the world.
It is. And we're going to be talking all about the Geelong region. Well, not really. We'll be talking to three people that hail from the Geelong region about all things A-League tonight. Tonight is our special A-League Grand Final theme show, Andrew. It's going to be awesome.
Fantastic, yes. And, of course, we've seen a big weekend last weekend in the A-League and another big one coming up this weekend.
Well, for those of you that are not familiar with what is happening tonight, we have been pushing it hard on social media for the last 24 hours, but we are going to be speaking to ex-Socceroo captain Steve Horvat about Western United, the club that is going to be based in Geelong for the next 2 years. Some amazing announcements, even one big announcement today, and we'll talk about that in the news desk. We're going to be talking with Adrian Layer, ex-Melbourne Victory grand finalist on two occasions. And last but not least, Matthew Spiranovic. He'll be playing for Perth Glory this Sunday. Now, the last I've heard, about half an hour ago, there's reports coming from Perth that they've sold something like 40,000 plus tickets for Sunday's game. Amazing. It's going to be incredible. And we'll be talking a little later in the show to Matty Spiranovic about his year at Perth Glory and what it's like in Perth, the build-up to the big game.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's biggest week of the year probably in his career so far. So.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But we're going to take a bit of a quick break, or it's not really a break. It's more of a jingle, isn't it, like the news desk, because it's time for the news desk.
The news desk.
Yes, in news this week, big news coming out of our Galaxy team. Geelong Galaxy parted ways with their coach.
We saw that in today's Geelong Advertiser, and that was reproduced on our Facebook page. Gabriel Marquez is no longer a Galaxy United coach. Yeah, tell us more, Andrew.
Well, we don't know a huge amount about it, but we just heard that they've come to a mutual understanding that they're not the right fit for each other, and they've sent Gabriel on his way.
Yes, we can't really talk too much because we don't know exactly everything, so everything would be alleged and allegedly this and allegedly that. But, yeah, judging by the news report in today's advertiser, it was just a lack of compatibility, according to the report, although it doesn't really have anyone from Galaxy responding. So if anyone from Galaxy is listening to us or watching us, in the comments section, do say hi, cheerio, and if... what happened is a good thing or a bad thing, or maybe you might not want to say it's a good thing or a bad thing. But, you know, life goes on and they'll be looking for a new coach.
Mm-hmm. They will. What are you going to put your hand up, Tonchi?
Me? No. I've got too many fingers in too many pies at the moment. So, you know, I'm good. I'm great. But I can't be in two places at once.
Now, the other big news with thing come out during the week was Golden Plains. I think they struck gold out there in the Golden Plains and got bipartisan support now to have the build of the place. So they've got everything going to go in there, the change rooms and referees rooms and first aid area, and it's all the money, about $832,000.
Yeah, I think, yep. So it's been reported on social media today, officially on Golden Plains' Facebook page, that now the Liberals have come to the party and have pledged $832,000 for stage two, basically, of their change room expansion. Mm-hmm. And that matches the Labor pledge. So basically bipartisan support. It means all things going in the next 12 to 24 months. Golden Plains look like they'll have a second pitch, but they'll also have expanded change room facilities. That's great for a club that potentially could grow to be over 300 players in the next few years.
Well, I did hear that the second pitch used to be a cornfield, and they all went on the theory of if they build it, they will come.
So yeah.
the team, you're going to build the extra ground out there.
Have you been out to Bannockburn lately, Andrew?
It's just huge, hasn't
it? It's going nuts,
We used to live at Lethbridge about 10 years ago, and it was much smaller then. Bannockburn was sort of our central place where we went shopping and things. Yeah.
Golden Plains president Anthony Vanjek last year was telling me when I was out there checking out where the new pitch is going to be, he was telling me that there's basically 10,000 inhabitants or 10,000 people are going to be living in an area adjacent to that ground and towards Ballarat. So a massive estate is being planned in there. And we were going to talk this week to Kylie Grisbeck, the councillor, City of Greater Geelong councillor, all things about the expansion up in the north. And there's massive news. But unfortunately, we actually pre-recorded that interview
earlier in the week.
But we've had to hold that off because of tonight's
And apparently Kylie has never played in the A-League.
She's never played in the A-League.
No, so she didn't fit into the show. So.
anything else making news, Andrew, around the grounds?
Nothing I've got at the moment. But, hey, we'd love to hear your news. So if anybody wants to put a little note on our Facebook page or who's listening live, send your news stories through to us and we're happy to get them there. Let's have them credible, though. Thanks.
Yeah, we're going to have a little bit of a jingle, if there's a jingle, and it gives us a chance to catch our breath. And we'll very, very, very quickly go have a look at the Men's Division 1 and the Women's Division 1, the local competition. You're listening to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Football Nation Radio. Well, we were going to discuss the what's happening locally, but we've got the first of our big guests on the line in this week's special A-League themed show leading up to Sunday's big grand final showdown between Perth Glory and Sydney FC at Perth's new Optus Stadium, which we heard just before the break they may have sold something in the vicinity of 40,000 tickets already. We're going to speak to a very, very special guest on the Geelong Region Soccer Show, someone who has himself been involved in two grand finals and still has a very strong connection to the Geelong region. On the line, joining us is ex-Melbourne Victory star defender and Janjak boy, Adrian Layer. Adrian, welcome to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Radio.
Good evening, gents.
How are you, mate? How's things?
Yeah, I'm well. I'm well. Counting down to the end of the A-League season, like everyone, and looking forward to what will be a good spectacle in an awesome new stadium.
So, Adrian, you played 170-odd games for Melbourne Victory in a couple of stints. During your first stint in 2017, you played in a really memorable grand final, the 6-0 thumping of Adelaide United in front of the crowd. Then was 55,000 at Etihad Stadium. Do you remember much of that day, and you want to share with us what you remember from there?
I remember everything from that day. It's probably the best, one day, one moment of my career. It happened pretty early in my career, and it's something that I'll never forget, and something that I'll always be proud of, being part of the inaugural championship winning team of Melbourne Victory, and like you said, the support we had around that time, the public of Melbourne really got behind us, and the team was just a really close, fun group of boys, and we just absolutely killed it that year. So great memories.
Now, Archie Thompson bagged like 5 goals. And all right, first goal, spectacular. Second goal, unreal. By about the third or the fourth goal, was it starting to get a bit boring? Were you guys taking the mickey out of him on the pitch, or was it just something that was just felt so surreal?
It wasn't boring at all. it was just, I was pretty, I reckon it was until about the fifth goal. That's when I sort of started to relax. I was looking at Muskie, and he was sort of having a laugh and playing a few tricks on the field. And there's little moments of the game which no one else would have seen, but you just sort of remember because it was such an emphatic victory, you could actually really soak it up and enjoy it. So from that point of view, there's just memories. We came out after half time, and half the roof was closed. It started pouring, so one half of the pitch was dry, the other was wet. It was just it was almost like a dream, and it sort of still does feel like a dream. It was just such a special day.
Now, your second grand final appearance is both memorable and not so memorable in 2010. You drew 1-1 with Sydney FC, that is, Victory drew 1-1 with Sydney FC, but in the end lost on penalties 4-2 in front of 44,000-odd fans, once again, at Etihad Stadium. Now, the good thing from that day was that you scored Victory's only goal in regular time in the 81st minute. What did that feel like, scoring in a grand final?
Oh, it was awesome. And I reckon, people still say to me today that noise, after the goal in the next 10 minutes where we should have scored, we had so many chances to score and we should have won the game. People still say today it's the loudest they've ever heard, a soccer game, and we could feel that on the pitch. And, that game kills me today, and it still, it always will. But, just knowing that we should have been able to run over them in the last 10 minutes, it still hurts and always will. And, that's football. And, I hope for the sake of both teams this weekend, it doesn't go to penalties, because it's such a rubbish way to lose. And, you work so hard all year and you lose by, a stroke of luck in a penalty shootout, which, it's no good for anyone.
Just ask Adelaide United about that one.
Now, talking about tough losses, and last Sunday's game, did you get to watch that against Sydney FC? And I suppose it would have been devastating for any Victory fan. What do you think went through the minds of those Victory fans, and what do you think Victory did wrong?
Oh, look, it was just, I'm still sort of gutted over it. And, so I sort of sat there on Sunday with really high hopes, and, I watched that the whole thing out and was pretty deflated. But, I think just nothing went right from the word go. A pretty uncharacteristic error from Lawrence to concede the first one. Broski takes his goal well, and then, Lee Broxham cops a deflection, and it's 3-0 at half-time, and it's a long way back from there. And, there's so many reasons why you can look at, but at the end of the day, Sydney FC were very, very good. Victory were very, very poor. And I think it'll take the club a while to sort of lift themselves up again, but I suppose it's a bit of a wake-up call and a bit of a reality check. And, that's sometimes good for a football club, because it gets everyone you know, back to square one, back on their toes, and start looking at how they can improve again.
Now, Ado, back to you and back to your grand final experiences. How did you prepare for those grand finals? Is it the same, or was it the same as any other game, or can you simply not deny the fact it's something just a little bit more significant than any other game?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's, you know, you have to embrace it. And I remember always just lifting so much, even from the Monday, the first day back at training, you just had a real buzz about it. And that was sort of the same as going to any final. And I think, you know, the fans always really got behind us. You know, the boys in Sydney and Perth will be experiencing that right now. And it is a special week, and it's a different week, and you've just got to sort of go with it. You know, for a lot of footballers, that's their dream to lift a major trophy like that. And for many, it'll be their first one. For some, they'll be trying to get their second or third. And no matter how many you've had, they're all special. So exciting time for all those boys preparing, and everyone else in the league is very envious of Sydney and Perth right now.
So, Adrian, you had a career yourself of spanning more than 15 years. You played in the NSL for the Knights and A-League with Victory. You played in England, South Korea and China for a season. What do you think were your most memorable memories from that time?
Oh, look, I think, you know, looking back, you know, my best memories are from Melbourne Victory. That's the club that I love, and the club that, you know, sort of made me as a player. But then, you know, I look at all the clubs I played for, you know, at Melbourne Knights, you know, there's memories from there, which, you know, the real heart and soul of football, and, you know, the Croatian traditions and just things that I experienced as a 17-year-old. It was, you know, stuff from that time there I carried right through my career. So everywhere I went, I learnt and, you know, opened my eyes to new things. And I suppose towards the end of my career, I was pretty fortunate to get over to Asia and, you know, see different cultures and, you know, really appreciate what we had here in Australia, but also, I suppose, test myself, you know, physically and mentally in really tough conditions. And, you know, to survive 4 years there, I'm pretty proud of that, and still had another one to go, but decided that, you know, after a long time away, it was better to get the family home. And I was presented a good opportunity out of that, so I took that, and you know, still involved in the game, which is good.
So, what is life after football like for Adrian Leigh? You mentioned you're with Adidas at the moment. What are you doing there? And do you still play? And is there any chance that you might be pulling on the boots in the foreseeable future?
Yeah, so I'm at Adidas now. You know, I'm working in sports marketing. So obviously I look after Melbourne Victory, who are sponsored by Adidas. I look after a lot of individual athletes across soccer and NRL.
Now, just one question, Ado. Did you broker that record-breaking deal with Real Madrid for Adidas?
I certainly did.
I knew it. I just knew it. Well done.
No, I'm...
That's huge.
It's very exciting for the company, and a lot of the focus for a lot of the first part of this year was to make sure that deal got done. And you know, we're a proud football company, and to be associated with a club like that among other huge clubs around the world is pretty special. So, you know, the 10-year deal with Real Madrid is very exciting for us. And you know, like I said, you know, now I work closely with Victory and a lot of rugby league stuff, which I'm really enjoying, getting stuck into another sport, which I followed as a youngster, and I'm really enjoying the change.
What about the playing side of things? A little birdie here in the FNR corridors said to me just prior to the show that there's a likelihood you may be pulling on the boots. Care to divulge? Are we going to hear it here first on the Geelong Region Soccer Show?
Look, it's, it's something that's sort of come up out of the blue, to be honest. I've been keeping myself reasonably fit just because I wanted to. And one of my best mates is the assistant coach somewhere and said, come on, mate, we need your help. So, look, I'm training with Dandy City at the moment.
There you go. You heard it first on FNR Radio, newsflash.
I've done a couple of sessions, and I'm still deciding whether or not to go on with it, because I just, I've had such a long time out of the game, and you know, it's hard just to pull the boots on and get going straight away. So I'm currently contemplating it, but still training with the team.
They got a new coach now, Ante Moric. Is he the ex-Sydney United player or would play in the old NSL? I'm not sure. It rings a bell for some reason. Yep.
Yeah, he is.
There you go.
So maybe I suppose we could chat all night, but we've got a limited amount of time here on FNR Radio on the Geelong Region Soccer Show. We'd just like to thank you for coming on, mate. Really, really, really appreciate it. Hopefully you can get to join us in the future. One final thing, though. Sunday's grand final. Who do you think will win and why?
Oh, look, I think it's going to be a tough game. I'd really like to see Mats Brenovich win the grand final. He's been in a few and has been a little bit unlucky, same as Tony Popovich. So, I've sort of grown up with Matt, spoken to him a lot throughout his career about the ups and downs, and we've sort of shared similar journeys through Asia and stuff like that. So, I'd like to see Perth win for Matty. But in saying that, it's going to be a really tough contest, and you saw what Sydney can produce the other night. So it's it could come down to the wire.
Now, before we let you go, Ado, you've got a friend, a bosom buddy of yours, who's saying hello over the Facebook Live chat, and it's Santino Mamone. He's saying that you and him wreaked havoc at Cardinia Park last year when you were doing an internship there. We'll just leave it at that because Santino is a character unto himself. Hello, Santino. But say hello.
he's a good boy, and I did do an internship at the Cats. And
he's a legend.
We spoke a lot of victory in the corridor, so he's a good fella.
I'll bet. All right, mate. Thank you very, very much for joining us.
Thanks again.
We really appreciate you taking your time.
Cheers, boys. All right.
Good night, Adrian. That was Adrian Layer, ex-Melbourne Victory centre-back, and, geez, he was an exciting player. Not because of the fact that he was a Geelong boy. I mean, he moved to Geelong when he was about 15, but he just was so reliable and reminded me of those sweepers of yesteryear. And another one of those is going to be coming up very, very shortly. Steve Horvat, ex-Socceroo legend. He'll be coming on a little bit later on in the show. But we're going to take a bit of a break. And hopefully on the other side of the break, we'll be talking about another good centre-back that's originated from the Geelong region. And he'll be involved in Sunday's grand final, none other than Matthew Spiranovic. You're listening to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Football Nation Radio. Welcome back to the Geelong Region Soccer Show here on FNR Radio in this week's special A-League themed The Change Room segment.
The Change Rooms.
We are speaking to a very special guest on the Geelong Region Soccer Show, someone who will be front and centre, well, actually back and centre, on the field, in the heart of the Perth Glory defence, as they seek to capture their first ever A-League Champions title against Sydney FC on Sunday. We are, of course, speaking about former North Geelong junior and Socceroo defender Matthew Spiranovic. Matty, welcome to the Geelong Region Soccer Show. How are you?
Thanks, Tanji. Thanks for having me. Very well, thanks.
Thank you for taking time out. I know it's a busy week out there, but normally, mate, it's a case of the younger siblings following the footsteps of their older siblings. But in your case, you're actually following the footsteps of younger sister Laura by appearing on our show. Well done. Congratulations. Laura was a guest.
Yeah, I listened to that interview.
Did you?
A few weeks ago. Excellent.
It's apparently going nuts over in Croatia. Laura's been inundated by people saying, can you translate this for me? What did you say? Did you mention me? Did you mention the club? but we really appreciate it because no doubt it's very hectic for you.
No worries at all.
It's a bit rough, Tonchi. The poor guy, one of his biggest weeks of the year, you get him on the radio and all you talk about is his sister.
Yeah, well, there you go. He's living in the
shadows. I normally don't do interviews on grand final week, but for Conchi, I'll make an exception. No problem.
There you go. I'm blushing, mate. I'm blushing.
Thanks very much for coming on, Matt. It's Cheesy here. Now, you've been in Perth with Perth Glory for a little while now. Can you tell us about your experiences in Perth this year and what made you go over there in the first place? And please, of course, don't say it's the weather.
or the beaches. It's been an amazing year. I knew once I signed here, especially under
Tony Popovich, you know, that we were going to be successful. I mean, I worked under him at Western Sydney, and that was definitely the case. You know, we've had an amazing year to lift the Premier's plate and now have a chance to win another trophy on Sunday. Is testament to that, and it's credit to everyone involved and the club and the players.
Now, we just heard just before the show, I think it's something on social media is doing the rounds, that apparently like an hour or so ago, 40,000-plus tickets have been snapped up for Sunday's game. Oh, that must really get you excited thinking about that, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I think especially after last Friday's game, there's been a real hype and buzz around the city, and you know, you can feel that even walking down the street and in the cafes. Everyone's talking about it, and you know, like you said, there's already a lot of tickets sold, and I'm confident it will be a sellout on Sunday.
Now, how was it adapting to life in Perth? I know it's obviously, they say it's the most isolated capital city in Australia, in some cases the world, because it's so distant from everything else. But, you know, coming from Geelong and then you're living in Melbourne, lived in Sydney, going to Perth, was it, you know, a breath of fresh air? Was it something exciting? I know you had a couple of Victorians like Ivan Franjic there to be with you, but how did you find the transition in those early days?
You know, I think a big part of my decision to come here was, you know, following the 3-year stint I had in China. You know, it was important for me to get back, you know, into a real professional environment. I knew I would get that, you know, under Tony Popovich, and you know, I wanted to give myself the best chance of playing my best football, and you know, thankfully, you know, I've been feeling well, you know, in recent months and able to do that. And you know what, the transition's been pretty seamless. I mean, it's a great city. Like you said, the weather's fantastic. You know, I guess the perks are you don't have to deal with the traffic like, you know, a lot of major cities. So I think with, you know, familiar faces also in the squad and a lot of boys that I've played with previously, it's been a pretty easy transition.
Now, we know being part of a football club it's an important part to have good mates there. In the Perth Glory team, who do you say you'd hang around with most?
Look, I think my roommate is actually Liam Reddy. So on away trips, obviously spend a lot of time with Liam. Other than Liam, probably, you know, Jason Davis and Ivan Franjic. You know, there's a few of us single boys also that seem to hang out quite a bit, whether it's, you know, coffees and lunches and dinners.
What about on the flip side? Which player amongst the Perth Glory mob has the most annoying habit and why? You don't need to implicate it. You can just say a particular player who plays in centre-back or this or that, whatever.
I think it's pretty well known that my centre-back partner, Dino Djulvic, he likes to talk a lot. Especially when he gets a bit tired, so he's always chirpy, and you know, I'm not really a morning person, but he seems to come into training after 5 coffees, and he's always chirping.
Does it ever happen on the field where he talks too much and the opposition just turns around and say, "Just shut up"?
Oh, no doubt. I think he'd drive the strikers mad. So it's probably a good quality.
Absolutely.
Now, what about the fans? Matt, Perth Glory fans, what are they like? At the games, and you mentioned also in the streets as well, compared to, say, fans in the eastern states?
Look, they're a very passionate you know, group of supporters. This club, you know, going back, has a fantastic history. You know, prior to the A-League, a very successful club in the old NSL days. So I think, you know, this year, the fact that the team's been so strong and we've performed so well, it's just, you know, encouraged everyone to get behind us. And, you know, you could see from the crowd, I think it was over 17,000 on the weekend. You know, we've been breaking records in the last few weeks. So I think that just goes to show.
Now, we've encouraged, Matty, our listeners to send in any questions they may want asked. And one person who wishes to remain anonymous poses the following question. And it's actually a good one. What are some of the things you do to calm your nerves before a big game?
Normally, I just, you know, get into a Netflix series and just try and switch off. There's nothing really in particular that I do, but I just try and keep myself busy and, you know, my mind occupied, and that normally just keeps me relaxed.
And finally, you're contracted to, you're contracted to Perth for next year, are you? Or is there any
I'll be uncontracted following this season. So okay. At this stage, I'm just putting all my focus and energy into this next game, and then I'll make a decision after that.
Yeah, of course, we'd like to see you over at one of the clubs in the West, a bit closer to home.
And we're not talking about Western Australia, are we? No, we're talking sort of closer to home, maybe right in home. any chance? We've got Steve Horvat coming onto the show immediately after this. Have we got another an announcement to make?
No, look, honestly, guys, I haven't given it too much thought at this stage, and I've just been putting all my focus into this game, absolutely. And then I'll sit down, have a good think about it, and then just go from there.
Absolutely, and all jokes aside, mate, we wish you all the very, very best. It's funny, it's ironic, back in the NSL days, as a Melbourne Knights fan, we used to hate Perth Glory with a vengeance, and now because of you, and Ivan Franić and Tony Popovich, you know, I'm leaning towards Perth Glory this week. So
yeah, you have mate, the whole city thanks, behind guys. You, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. We wish you, mate, all the very best on Sunday. And like I said, I'm sure many supporters of the World Game in Geelong will be by your side come Sunday's big grand final. And seriously, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us on the Geelong Region Football Show.
Yeah, we feel really privileged because, as you said, you don't normally speak to anybody on grand final
week. No worries.
So we're glad you chose us.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thanks, guys. Cheers. Good night.
You're listening to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Football Nation Radio. Welcome back to tonight's episode of the Geelong Region Soccer Show, proudly brought to you by Community Sports Media Services. It's time now, Josh, for Club Focus.
Club Focus.
In this week's special A-League Club Focus segment, we take a look at technically Geelong's newest club. Of course, we are speaking about the new kids on the A-League block, Western United FC, who will be based out of GMHBA Stadium in its first 2 years, at least as far as match days are concerned. Joining us on the line to speak about Western United is a true Geelong soccer legend, former Socceroo captain, current North Geelong living legend, and football operations director at Western United, Steve Horvat. Steve, welcome to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Radio.
Yeah, look, thanks, Tonchi. Thanks for having me on, guys. And off the bat, look, really great job you're doing promoting the game in our region.
Fantastic, mate. Thank you very much for taking some time out. I can only imagine it's a 7-11 kind of operation at the moment, 24-7, that Western United is. Some exciting news today. And which we'll talk about it. But, yeah, once again, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, look, it is. Obviously, I've got three phone calls to make after this interview tonight. So it doesn't stop. But, you know, we're super excited about the journey we're embarking on. And every day is a new chapter, a new challenge, and a different building block in building our club.
Now, Steve Sheezy here. It's now, last week, another piece of the puzzle was put together. When the club announced your new logo, it must be really exciting that, you know, slowly things are starting to come together, and well, particularly off the field and behind the scenes. It must be exciting times there.
Yeah, look, it is. We've paced ourselves and we've wanted to get everything right behind the scenes and set our structures up. And, you know, things like, you know, the crest that was revealed last week. We wanted to make sure we got it right. And look, we're not going to please 100% of the fans or public out there, but, you know, we think it's a great symbol for the West. You know, we heroed the W, and, you know, we're all about the entire Western region. And obviously, as Tonchi mentioned at the top, you know, basing ourselves out at GMHBA Stadium for the first couple of seasons until our stadium is built and ready for season 3. You know, it's really part of our catchment and, you know, part of the region that we want to call home and continue to have a presence in. So, look, many things happening. We've got a strip reveal coming in a couple of weeks. We've got more player announcements coming, and obviously we had the Philip Curdo announcement today.
That's a huge signing. I mean, that is a great signing, and it really, I mean, they always say championship teams are created from the defence. I'm sure you'll probably agree with that, Steve, from your playing days. But having someone like that as the custodian, that must be a real big boost for the squad.
Yeah, it is. Look, you know, we got our licence back in December, and then we started to get the player lists that were out of contract at the end of the season. And, you know, he was very much at the top of our list initially when we started to think about how we wanted to build our squad and who we wanted back there. You know, he obviously already, by that stage in the A-League season, was creating a big impression with the pundits and the fans, and you know he continued to do that, and obviously just last night took out the goalkeeper of the year award. So yeah, we're absolutely thrilled to have him between the sticks for season one, and we can't wait to get not only him but all of our players in our training group and in our temporary training facility in July.
Yeah, now, at the other end of the field, another star signing was announced last week with ex-Socceroos striker Scott McDonald. Okay, so he's 36 years of age and nearing retirement, but he's a big name and marketable. Like, I mean, the guy is a Socceroo legend.
Yeah, look, we it's all really about balance in the squad in season one. You know, we've got players, you know, at the very beginning of their careers, some young, great talent that will be no doubt stars of the future. But, you know, you really need to balance that out with some real experience, you know, to really set the culture, not only on the park, but in the dressing room. And I think Scott McDonald brings that. You know, he's been playing overseas for 19 years. And when you look at when we made that announcement and you saw, you know, all the comments that were on social media and all the well wishes, you realise that wherever this guy's played throughout his career, he's left a great impression on that club. And that really tells you something about the character of the individual. And, you know, just getting to know him now throughout this signing period and meeting him last week when he was in Melbourne for a couple of days, I get it now. I really understand, you know, the value and the contribution he's going to make to our club.
Steve, can we expect any more signings in the next couple of weeks? And now the A-League season's almost finished?
Yeah, look, definitely. We'll keep rolling out the signings. You know, we're sort of, we've got a number, quite a few more to announce. But, you know, we will space that out over the coming period. You know, we've got many other things to start announcing in terms of memberships and like I mentioned earlier, a strip reveal. So, you know, there's plenty to say, plenty still to do, but, you know, all very exciting.
Look, we're going to give you the opportunity here because, you know, it's not often you get to do this on air, but any bombshell announcements you'd like to make tonight?
Exclusives, you know?
Look, I thought we did all right today by, you know, making the Philip Curdo announcement, right on the day of the show. So, look, outside of that, nothing at the moment, but stay tuned. Definitely there'll be some pretty big news over the next couple of weeks.
We just had a bit of a chat to Matty Sparanovic and about his taking on the grand final this weekend for Perth Glory. Comes out of contract himself this week.
Geelong boy, Captain Matty, I reckon. Yep. Yes.
Bring him home.
Are you guys dropping a bombshell here?
We're just speculating.
obviously every player, you know, that either comes out of contract or, you know, has been released by, you know, their current A-League club. You know, we're probably at the top of the list in terms of, you know, potential clubs they may end up at. But, outside of the announcements that we've made to date, we don't have anything new. But, you know, I'm sure there will be, some more announcements in the next week or so.
No doubt. I reckon Western United could field five teams with all the speculation that's been going on. And we've got people saying, when is Mark Rudan being announced? And there's other people talking about other potential players and what you're not. But we'll leave it at that. We have encouraged our listeners to send in any questions they may want asked. One person, let's call her Miss Anonymous, poses a very good question, actually. And she says, When will Western United introduce their junior academy, and what will the future NPL league look like? Or I think she means what will the future NPL team look like. I'm going to go further in that and say, in the first year, is Western United, you know, looking at fielding, say, a W League side and a youth league side as well?
Well, look, we won't be fielding a youth league side in this year's competition. Mm-hmm. We've decided to just really focus on getting the A-League team established first and foremost. That was enough of a challenge with the short time frame that we've been given, you know, only getting the licence in December and having to play our first game in October. But having said that, you know, we are exploring, you know, the opportunities of installing an academy as soon as we can. So we're actually working through that process at the moment. You know, watch this space, but there may be some announcements, you know, coming pretty shortly about that potentially for next season. And yeah, look, we've made no secret about their desire to one day have a W League team of our own. You know, there's no expansion set down by the FFA at the moment in that respect. But, you know, we're looking at other options. You know, we want to make sure that we, you know, be an equal opportunity club, and everything we can do in the women's space, we will. You know, we're quite public in the bid process that, you know, we'd love, you know, the home of the Matildas to be where we are. And, you know, all the facilities that we do build, you know, we have an eye at in terms of using them to, you know, to grow the game, not only, you know, for young boys, but young girls as well.
I mean, that is a very exciting moment when you talk about the home of the Matildas. Just today, I think it was announced that Football Victoria have secured bipartisan support for $15 million to put towards a future home of the Matildas. Obviously, you know, powers that be will probably be looking at various parts of Melbourne. But, yeah, why couldn't it be out in the West, you know? You know, it's the perfect breeding ground, isn't it? Would be for future Matildas.
Well, look, no doubt. You know, I think there's a number of councils that have thrown their hat in the ring to, you know, to be part of the process and you know, to have their base set up in that region. So, look, you know, there's a process going through at the moment. You know, like I said, we've made it abundantly clear that, you know, we want to have women's football play a big part in our football precinct. You know, once we are up and running, you know, we actually just had a presentation done by Populous and ProBuild yesterday in our board meeting. Populous, the designers of the newly opened Tottenham Stadium in London, and obviously the Parramatta Stadium. And, you know, we had an update as to, you know, where the staging and where the building is at of our stadium. And, yeah, truly remarkable. It's super exciting. And I think, you know, I just can't wait to share that with the football community to, you know, I think it's going to be something that's going to be really special for the game in the West.
And talking about the football community, getting out into schools and shopping centres and the wider community is concerned, we haven't seen a huge amount of that as yet. Can we expect a bit over the next few months?
Look, we're basically going to start rolling that out from June the 1st. We you know, our players are not contracted until that date. So, you know, there's a plan being put together at the moment, and I can trust everyone and rest assured that they'll get sick of us by the time our first game comes around. But yeah, we obviously endeavour to get out as many clubs and as many schools and as many community groups as we can. So, you know, that's something that will be kicking off in June.
There you go, people. Stay tuned for the big avalanche of Western United. Steve, I know it's early stages, but what sort of crowd figure would Western United officials be satisfied with in Season 1 at GMHBA Stadium?
Well, look, I mean, I really don't want to put a ceiling on it. I think, you know, the reception that we've received, you know, both through direct channels and social media and well wishes and you know, the anticipation of, you know, every announcement that we make, you know, has made it, you know, crystal clear to us that there's a real desire and a real hunger for a team in this region. And, you know, I think it's just really up to us to deliver on what we said we would deliver, you know, and build a team and a culture around the club that really encapsulates what the West is all about, you know. And I think that's where you actually get buy-in from the fans, you know. You know, just coming out and plucking a figure out of thin air is probably not something that's ideal. But, you know, I think, you know, if the work is put in, and especially over the next few months, like I said earlier, about getting out there and just meeting the people and explaining what we're about and what we want to achieve, I think that's going to deliver the outcome that we want.
Steve, we encourage our listeners to write in with any questions. We did have one person write in and ask, what benefits could the local clubs and local soccer community expect to flow down from Western United being located in Geelong?
Well, I think it's not... I mean, I don't think it's really just Geelong. I think it's the entire region, you know. I mean, I think, you know, when you look at, you know, the participation in places like Ballarat and Bendigo and obviously the western region of Melbourne, the game is growing incredibly. But I think our... I mean, I think our mission is to actually grow the game. I think if, you know, if we take it on board as our duty to actually convert young boys and girls into football fans, I think that will ultimately benefit the club. You know, I think we're not going to be in the mindset of, you know, we need to deliver 20 memberships every time we go and do a community run or whatever. Really, it's about... growing the game. And, you know, when I say that, I mean about participation at local clubs, at local community clubs. If we can assist those clubs in growing, then I think we're actually increasing the talent pool, and I think we're actually increasing the potential fan base that we have will have in the Western region. So, you know, our aim is it's not a self-motivated mission to get out there and get memberships. I think if we, you know, use that philosophy as going out, let's grow the game for everybody, I think everything will eventually trickle down to us, and, you know, we'll be the beneficiaries. But, you know, I'm just passionate about my sport. You know, I mean, it's given me an incredible life, incredible opportunities, and I've seen the world. And I think if, you know, some other kid or you know, some boy or some girl in the Western region can, you know, get football to give them the life it's given me, then I think that's enough gratitude.
Mate, on that note, any final messages for the Geelong football community you'd like to say here on the Geelong Region Soccer Show?
Oh, look, just keep your eyes and ears peeled. You know, we'll be out in the community very soon. I look forward to, you know, myself and the coaches and the players coming out and meeting fans and meeting, you know, the kids and the boys and girls out there. And, look, just get ready for October.
So, Steve, we need to wrap it up a little bit now. But, look, what we really, really like your insights that you've been able to give to us tonight on the new club. And we really like to get you back on here, you know, a few times before the season starts, the next A-League season starts. Do you reckon we can line you up for that?
Yeah, no doubt. Just I think Tonchi's got the hotline to my number, so I'm sure he'll be in touch. But yeah, look, happy to jump on any time and keep the community of, you know, of Geelong and the football fans down here updated as to where we're at and when we'll be in their areas.
Well, you know, we really want to thank you for joining us tonight on Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Radio, and we wish you all the best with the further development of the Western United FC.
Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Steve. Good night. Now, Steve Horvath, the Football Operations Director at Western United. Just a quick comment about that. I found that a refreshing breath of fresh air that you've got club officials talking, not about some sort of narrow-minded, short-sighted view of trying to achieve something and, you know, using the people of Geelong for whatever reason, because we've seen that a little bit in years gone by, past with various clubs. But it's the holistic approach to the promotion of the game. That to me is probably the thing that stands out from that interview.
Very much so.
Yeah,
got his head screwed on, that fella.
Yeah, absolutely. So look, it's quite exciting times. We're really going to be running out of time, but we're very, very quickly just going to have a quick look at the state of play in the local leagues. Unfortunately, we don't get that much of an opportunity This year, really, the local Geelong Region League is suffering from a lack of publicity more so than previous years. But I guess this is the only forum where we're able to, publicise what is happening with those competitions. So we'll turn our attention to Men's Division 1. And at the moment, the situation. Mate, go through some of the results that took place in Men's Division 1 last week.
Yeah, last weekend, Surf Coast knocked over Leopold 7-2. Barwon knocked the ladder leaders off 1-0 over Geelong Rangers. Drysdale got a 4-0 win over Deakin Ducks. Congratulations, Nick Hopper, on a hat-trick. And Correa Soccer Club got done by Surfside Waves, 7-2.
So the situation as far as the ladder is concerned, Rangers on top with 12 points. They played one game more than Surf Coast in second on 9. Barwon in third, also in 9 with a game in hand. And then Bell Park, who've got 2 games in hand, they're in 6 points. So they could potentially jump up a couple of spots. Women's Division 1, Andrew. What happened in Women's Division 1?
So Women's Division 1, Lara had a 1-0 win over the Ducks, the Deakin Ducks. Geelong Rangers, 5, beat Bell Park, 0. Barwon just snatched the points against Drysdale, 3-2. And the North Geelong Warriors had a bye.
So looking at the ladder, Geelong Rangers after 5 games, 5 wins, 15 points. Streak, that's almost 9 points clear of second place North Geelong. But North Geelong does have 2 games in hand. They're on 6 points. Deakin Ducks also on 6 points in third. Bell Park also on 6 points in fourth. And they have all played 2 games less than Rangers. Now, games this weekend in Women's Division 1, so round 5. All of these games are being played on Saturday. Give me a quick tip, Andrew. Deakin Ducks against Bell Park.
Oh, I've seen both of them play this year, and both of them have got excellent squads. Deakin always bring the goods through, and Bell Park are a very improved squad from last year as well. So that's a tough one. I'm going to say Deakin won't have getting done last weekend. I reckon they'll come back this weekend.
Okay. Now, you've got to stay impartial in this one. It's bottom versus top, Drysdale versus Geelong Rangers. Drysdale on the bottom, yet to record a win after 4 games. Rangers on top, yet to record a loss. Who's going to win that one?
Oh, Drysdale.
His heart beats black and yellow.
Well... I think I won't have a secretary's job tomorrow morning if I say anything else.
Yeah, that's true. He's the secretary of Drysdale Soccer Club. And finally, the Lara Derby, the North Geelong taking on Lara United at Elko Park. North Geelong are in second spot. And Lara United last week recorded their first win of the season. They are in fifth spot. Tip there?
Maybe Lara might just keep on going.
And turning our attention quickly to Men's Division 1, 3 games being played there. We've already had Rangers and FC Leopold, and Rangers defeated FC Leopold. That game was played a couple of weeks ago during the catch-up round. Mm-hmm. Surf Coast taking on Drysdale. All right, next, we know who's going to win that, correct? Drysdale.
Yeah.
Bell Park versus Surfside Waves. Bell Park are in 4th position and Surfside Waves are in 5th. Both on 6 points and both have played 3 games this year. That's going to be a close one up at Bell Park.
Yeah, well, they're still fairly close to my heart as well because I spent a bit of time up at Bell Park. I think we'll go with the Park, the All Whites.
He's very impartial, isn't he, Josh? And finally, Barwon versus Corio. Were you a secretary or a town crier or Orange Boy, either of those two clubs?
No, actually, I haven't had much to do with those
then
two clubs.
Then this is going to be an objective response then. Yeah, who will win that? Barwon, who are third, and Corio at the moment at the foot of the ladder in 9th position.
I reckon that Corio will get themselves going. They're a proud club, and they might put on a bit of a show this week.
They may well. It's going to be an interesting weekend, both in the NPL, the WNPL, the state leagues as well. Big shout out to Hoppers Crossing and Geelong Rangers. They've got a big game on the weekend. A lot of Rangers organising a bus of supporters down there because it is a past players and something or other event happening there. So a big one there, but some massive games happening.
Now, that's something
Geelong
I've
region.
Done before. I have done a Geelong Rangers bus. That is good fun.
Okay, copious amounts of alcohol, no doubt. On that note, we're going to finish tonight. It has been an amazing, amazing show. Next week, we've got some amazing, amazing guests. Kylie Grisbeck, councillor from the City of Greater Geelong, Barwon Soccer Club, the Club Focus, and who knows, we may have another interesting person to interview. So a lot to look forward to next week.
I'm looking forward to it.
If you missed tonight, make sure you you get the SoundCloud podcast, which will be available very, very shortly after the show. And we do need your support. It is the fourth episode. We have got 10 episodes guaranteed. I do want to send a special cheerio out to an anonymous donor who prior to the show did donate $50. Wanted to remain anonymous, but I thank that person dearly. And look, we do need your support. So if there are businesses out there, mums or dads who have run their small businesses or people that work in certain businesses, give us a buzz, give it through our Facebook page. We would love to have a couple of businesses on board, as we had this week, Community Sports Media Services. Sign Utopia a few weeks back, and would love to see your business as well next week, next Tuesday, 8 o'clock here on Football Nation Radio. You're listening to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Football Nation Radio.